Good evening. I will now call to order the September 18th, 2025 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. Please, may we have a roll call? Commissioner Brodsky.
We may. Commissioner Dar.
Here.
Commissioner Galway Jones.
Here.
Commissioner Gray.
Here.
Commissioner Ortiz is absent. Commissioner Stanton.
Here.
Commissioner Stockton.
Here.
Commissioner Walters and Commissioner Wilson are absent, and I am present. We have a quorum of six.
Thank you. Are there any changes or adjustments to our agenda this evening, Mr. Zinner?
Yes, there are. The first item on the agenda, case number 284-2025, has been requested to be tabled. We have slides prepared for that.
Very good. With that adjustment, is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Gray. Thumbs up approval on the agenda. Unanimous. Thank you. We all received a copy of the September 4th, 2025 regular meeting minutes. Are there any changes or adjustments to the minutes? Is there a motion to approve?
To approve the minutes.
Second.
A motion made by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Gray. Thumbs up approval of the minutes. Unanimous with Commissioner Brodsky abstaining. Very good. With that, our first case for the evening is a tabling motion on case number 284-2025, a request by Crockett Engineering Agent on behalf of Consolidated Public Water Supply District Number 1 owner for approval of a one-lot final major plat of IG Industrial General Zone property to be known as Consolidated Water Plat Number 1 and an associated design adjustment from Section 29-5.1D regarding required construction of sidewalks. The approximately 3.56-acre subject site is located northeast of Nebraska Avenue and 7th Street and includes the address 1500 7th Street. May we please have a staff report?
Yes. As indicated, that the applicant has requested that this item be tabled until the October 23rd meeting. That is to allow the staff and the applicant to coordinate and review options for the elimination of a private electric easement that traverses this particular project site that was identified after the packet's production that is going to be in future dedicated right-of-way that was shown for the northern portions of North 7th Street after the final plat is approved. So we need to resolve that matter. It could result in an additional design adjustment needing to be advertised for and then the staff report being revised, or it may have several other potential outcomes, and the delay will allow us to be able to determine which of the approaches is most appropriate and most expedient. So with that, we are supportive of the October 23rd date certain tabling request and believe that this project can then be brought forward and discussed at that point.
Very good. Are there any questions for staff about the tabling motion? Seeing none, we will go to public comment. This is just about the tabling motion. If there's any public comment on the tabling motion, please come forward. Seeing none, we will close public comment and go to commissioner comment. Is there any commissioner comment? Commissioner Stanton.
Madam Chair, my colleagues have no further comments. I'd like to entertain a motion.
Please do.
As it relates to case 284-2025, 1500 North 7th Street, design adjustment and final plat. I move to table the case till October 23rd.
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Gray. Very good. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none. May we please have a roll call, Commissioner Brodsky?
Commissioner Dar.
Yes.
Commissioner Galway Jones.
Yes.
Commissioner Gray.
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton.
Yes.
Commissioner Stockton.
Yes.
And my vote is yes. The motion carries.
Thank you. That case will be tabled to October 23rd, 2025. Our next case for the evening, case number 288-2025, a request by Engineering Surveys and Services Agent on behalf of the Bank of Missouri owner seeking approval of a conditional use permit CUP to allow a drive-up facility at the southeast corner of Nifong Boulevard and Bethel Street, subject to the use-specific and conditional use standards of Section 29-3.3JJ and Section 29-6.4M2 of the Unified Development Code, respectively. The 2.31-acre property is located at 310 Nifong Boulevard. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, you may. Thank you, Madam Chair. So real quick, public notice. Postcards were sent to 164 neighboring property owners and residents on August 22nd, and then letters and public hearing ad were both sent on the 2nd of September to the same 164 residents. So here's our aerial. As you can see, we're at the southeast corner of Nifong and Bethel Street. You can see in the immediate vicinity is the Gentry Estates assisted living facility. Thank you. Then further to the south, you have Rockbridge High School. Southeast, directly south, of course, is the Bethel Park. And then you can see Providence Corridor off to the upper right, and then to the extreme left, you have the Forum Boulevard corridor. So kind of in the middle of those two major corridors. So as you stated in the opening statement there, this is a request for a conditional use permit to allow drive-through in the MN district. It would be in conjunction with the proposed banking center. Our code actually designates this as a conditional accessory use. So, of course, it would be an accessory use to a bank. It's a customary accessory use to a bank. And then it would also require the conditional use permit. So it's subject to the use-specific standards in 29.3.3JJ, which are specific to drive-throughs. And then it would also be subject to the design guidelines and standards in 29.4.6C, which we'll get into both of those as we move along here. One of the requirements of the use-specific standards, I believe, is a site plan, which we have here. It depicts a two-story banking center with a three-lane drive-through, which is the red rectangle there to the right-hand side. That would be the east side of the property. The property is then accessed by the private streets that also serve the Gentry Estates assisted living facility. One kind of caveat here, or one important thing to note, I guess, is the intersection where the private drive meets Nifong, which is in the upper right-hand corner, the upper the northeast corner here, that is limited to a right-in, right-out. And I do believe there's actually a center median there that would preclude you from taking a left-hand turn out of here or a left-hand turn into the site from Nifong. The other entrance would be on the southwest corner of the site onto Bethel Street, and that is an open intersection. You can go either way. So the other point here to note is the one of the requirements of the drive-through stacking lanes is that they don't interfere with circulation. The arrows next to or the south end of the drive-through stacking lanes just shows that there is one lane of traffic. Probably there's probably room for two there, but just showing that that doesn't really interfere with that, and the likelihood is kind of low that it would, given that those are the required stacking spaces. They're required three, and of course they've got three in each lane here. So we talked on most of these things, at least the first point here, the access points on Bethel and Nifong, and the right-in, right-out on Nifong, of course. Getting to the use-specific standards now, typically, or just generally speaking, the intent of those standards is to reduce visual impacts and audible impacts. It promotes safer circulation for pedestrians and for vehicles on the site and in adjacent areas. And then also it's intended to just reduce potential conflicts and traffic and things of that nature. So they are generally applicable where a drive-through would be adjacent to an R1 or R2 district, and they would require a level 3 buffer and then some additional standards. This doesn't apply in this instance because we are adjacent to other MN properties, and then of course the Gentry Estates property to the south is PD, and as you can see, that's a kind of a multifamily PD, so it does not fall into the R1 or R2. There is an R1 property located northwest of the intersection of Bethel Street and Nifong. You can see on the upper right left-hand corner of the map. And that is actually, I believe, a water utility facility there. So there are specific regulations in the use specific standards for drive-throughs that require a conditional use in particular. One of those being the site plan requirement. The other thing is it restricts them for the drive-through from being within 50 feet of a residential district. And then there are other additional design standards with improved screening. And then, of course, there's like no speakers oriented towards an R1 or R2 district so that there's no noise pollution. Drive-through lanes can't occupy a required front or side yard. And then, of course, there's the appropriate screening and buffering required. In terms of the preliminary site plan that was submitted with this, it is compliant with these provisions of the UDC. It shows that it is compliant. The lanes are not located in the front or side yard, and then also the buffing, screening and buffering are denoted or shown on the landscape plan that is included with the site plan. Now moving on to the design standards and guidelines. They were created generally to address the bulk and appearance of new construction in relation to its context. Relief from these standards and guidelines requires a board of adjustment action for a variance. One of the primary items that we see often is the requirement for a entry door facing a street. There's a 20% transparency requirement on any street-facing facade of a new building. And then there's also wall plane and roof articulation requirements. These items are generally or typically addressed during the building plan review process. So they come to us with construction plans, and those would be addressed at that time. And just for your reference, there is currently no request for a variance. So the site plan doesn't really show elevations or roof plane articulation, things of that nature at this point. But those will be addressed when the applicants come forward with building plans. So just a note. All right, moving on to our evaluation criteria. Section 29.6.4M2 gives us 6 evaluation criteria for any request for a conditional use permit. They are listed there in abridged versions. And first of all is that the conditional use would comply with the standards of the underlying zoning district. Second is that it's consistent with the goals and objectives of the comp plan. It has to conform with the character of the adjacent area, and adequate access must be provided, sufficient infrastructure must exist to serve the use, and the final one is that it will not cause any significant adverse impacts. And so we've evaluated the conditional use permit request, and we found that the proposed drive-through is consistent with the evaluation criteria and all other UDC standards. It is a customary accessory use, and the site plan shows that it would be compliant with all the particular requirements. It does lie within the commercial district in the comp plan, which would be supportive of this type of use. The bank conforms to the context. It's actually across the street from another bank, a dental office. It is next to a couple of undeveloped parcels that are also zoned MN, as we mentioned before. And then, again, to the south is this assisted living facility, which is a more densely populated, intensive kind of residential use. But this would be kind of one of those intermediate uses between a neighborhood commercial such as what's being proposed here, and another, for instance, the further to the south is an R1 zone, which is actually part of the school. So access is sufficient. As we said, we have two points of access that will not only serve this site, but also the sites adjacent to it southeast of the intersection. And again, we have that right-in, right-out on Nifong that will help to alleviate some of the conflicting traffic flow, and it'll force folks around to the southwest corner to enter the site if they're coming from the east on Nifong. So that will help alleviate some of those traffic issues that might arise from a little bit higher level of traffic here that's brought with really any use. But a bank, being a commercial use, it'll see a little higher level, but not anything to the extent that would cause any major issues. So our public works and other utilities providers have all reviewed this proposal, and there are no concerns that have been brought forth in terms of providing services to the site. Everything is in place and has capacity to serve it. So, and then just generally, staff doesn't anticipate any significant adverse impacts, and the primary one would be traffic, and the right in, right out is a big step to addressing that. So with that, our recommendation would be to approve the requested conditional use permit for a drive-through in the MN district. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Before we go to questions for staff, if any of my fellow commissioners have had any contact with parties to this case outside of a public hearing, please disclose so now. Seeing none, questions for staff? Seeing none, we will go to public comment. If any members of the general public would like to speak, please come forward. State your name and address for the record. We allow 6 minutes for the applicant and groups and 3 minutes for individuals. Start when you're ready.
Thank you. My name is Matthew Carudi. I'm with Engineering Surveys and Services, offices at 1113 Fay Street. Again, a civil engineer on the project. There we go. Okay. So, again, as we mentioned, we're looking at a conditional use permit for the drive-thru on the bank. So I want to address the requirements and conditions of approval here. So first off, again, we have adequate infrastructure around the site. I've highlighted on there in green the sewer, blue the water, red electric. So you can see we've got utilities around there as well as sitting at the corner of Nifong and Bethel with access off an existing private road. Additionally, it's kind of then looking at the site laid on the, or property laid on this site, you can see the drive-through positioned away from the street frontage from Bethel and Nifong and away from the residential areas. You know, I've highlighted then that private drive we're referring to as well. And then again, from point of access, we've got signals at both Bethel and Nifong and Nova Way and Nifong as well. Also, from an access standpoint, just a little more specifics about it. We've mentioned the right in, right out. You can now see also the island and median that prevents any left turns in and out of that driveway, as well as the full access onto Bethel. And currently under construction is a connection that will connect that private drive across all the way to the roundabout, so there'll be access all the way out to the other signal. So great access into this property. In terms of circulation, again, as mentioned, the drive-through does have its own separate lane, does have adequate site stacking distance. The parking itself has two points of access, so you know if anything ever were to back up, there's another point in and out. But I've drawn arrows just showing how the circulation works. You can see the right in, right out from Nifong, the full access coming in from Bethel. And again, the circulation pattern that allowed them to go out east all the way to the roundabout and into Nova Way and over the Shakespeare's if they wanted to from there without getting back on Nifong. Nope, I went the wrong way. Fading here. Oh my gosh. I'm not doing well at all here. Okay, there we go. So also in terms of circulation, this also well accommodates pedestrians and bicycles. So I've highlighted in gray, there's the existing pedway and sidewalks on Bethel and Nifong. There'll be a sidewalk also added to the private drive. So you've got circulation in, kind of the, say the entry, main entry point is going to be on the south side of the building, but you've got access from that sidewalk into the building, and also have some sidewalk connection from Nifong directly into the building as well. And this will allow, you know, good circulations from, you know, all, you know, all modes of transportation. Again, this was there was a traffic study done on this. As of right now, with this bank, you know, we're talking about peak hour generation of about 270 vehicles. The whole traffic study had anticipated nearly 1,200 vehicles, so we're well under the anticipated. I did want to highlight, you know, in that study, there was a pharmacy assumed at this corner. This bank replaces that. Pretty similar traffic generation, maybe a tad bit more overall. Again, this the drive-through has been positioned, so it's you know, directing any speakers away from the residential. You know, lighting will comply, and we'll comply to all the other UDC standards, you know, as mentioned in the discussion. In terms of the surrounding conditions, this is nothing unusual for the area. I've highlighted here all the different businesses that have drive-throughs along this corridor. And you can see Central Bank all the way to the left side of the picture, Walgreens Pharmacy, Hawthorne Bank, you know, coming all the way across to the other bank, Seven Brew, Scooters. You know, there's multiple drive-throughs along the area, pretty consistent to that character of it, and, you know, again, being an arterial corridor. And even from the comprehensive plan, we're conforming with that. Ultimately, this is an infill site. You know, we're not going and reaching outside and sprawling. We've got all the existing infrastructure needed to develop this site. You don't need new services for that. It's, you know, there's no environmental concerns. There's no trees, sensitive areas we need to be concerned about. It's a walkable area. It's bikeable. Again, we got this frontage on a pedway, and we're going to add the street trees as well to, again, help encourage the pedestrian use along the area. You know, again, in summary, it's again hitting the same items that city hit. You know, we got the adequate infrastructure, good circulation, safe access, the drive-through separated from the rest of the parking, and we position the drive-through such that it's, you know, not going to be an adverse impact to the neighbors, not impacting the residential R1, R2 districts. You know, and you know, conforming to character of the area, and really no negative impacts to the circulation and traffic on Nifong, Bethel, and, you know, all the stacking is going to be off the main streets here. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Are there any questions? The speaker, seeing none. Thank you very much for being here. Anyone else to speak on this case, please come forward. Seeing none, we will close public comment and go to commissioner comment. Any commissioner comment? In this case, Commissioner Stanton.
If my colleagues have no further questions or comments, I would entertain a motion, Madam Chair.
Please do.
As it relates to case 288-2025, 310 West Nifong Boulevard, conditional use permit, I move to approve the requested CUP for a banking center drive-through facility in the MN zoning district.
Second.
Thank you. Motion made by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Gray. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Brodsky, may we have a roll call?
Hey, Commissioner Darr.
Yes.
Commissioner Galway Jones.
Yes.
Commissioner Gray.
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton.
Yes.
Commissioner Stockton.
Yes.
And my vote is yes. The motion carries.
Thank you. That recommendation will be forwarded to City Council. Our next case for the evening, case number 290-2025, a request by Ken German on behalf of German Egner Family Trust to allow 1506 Windsor Street to be used as a short-term rental for a maximum of 4 transient guests and up to 210 nights annually pursuant to Section 29-3.3VV and Section 29-6.4M2 of the Unified Development Code. The two-bedroom, one-bath home will have to install a driveway accessing Windsor Street to accommodate the required 2 UDC-compliant on-site off-street parking spaces if this request is approved. The 0.17-acre subject site is located approximately 125 feet east of the intersection of Ripley Street and Windsor Street. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, you may, Madam Chair. Thank you so much for that introduction. We sent out early notification postcards on August 21st, followed by public hearing letters on September 2nd. We sent out 67 of those to abutting neighbors of the site, and then we also ran a Tribune ad on September 2nd as well. Here's an aerial view of the subject site, the main east-west street along the bottom of the picture there. That's Walnut, I believe it's Walnut Street, and then it is accessed off of local residential streets over there in the Benton Stevens neighborhood. This is a street view of the subject site. I wanted to illustrate this because, as you alluded to, we have an interesting driveway case with this specific request. The driveway that's pictured here on the left part of the screen that is not accessed by the applicant, that is for the property to the east of this site. But I wanted to illustrate just this so that way we can get a better idea of what the subject site is presently improved with. So it's currently zoned RMF and is not the primary residence of the applicant. It's a two-bedroom, one-bathroom home. The max occupancy would be 4 per IPMC. I apologize, I should say 4 on there. Last year, it was offered for 84 nights. 35 of the 42 parcels in the surrounding area were identified as staff by currently being used as rental purposes. Well, we did not identify any STRs within 300 feet of the subject property as well. There's one current open code violation tied to this parcel, and it's pertaining to an illegal short-term rental operation, which we are here to rectify tonight. As mentioned, the property currently has no driveway access, and 2 parking pads on site would have to be provided before the issuance of any sort of STR compliance or business license would be approved. That is something that the applicant is aware of and is currently working with the building and site team in order to rectify. The designated agent does live in Columbia and lives right next door to the subject site. We received 6 letters regarding this case. They were all after the publication of the staff report, 3 of which were provided digitally, and then 3 should have been provided physically to you guys this tonight. We had 1 in opposition and 5 in support of this case. In conclusion, the conditional use permit analysis supports approval of the site. The short-term rental regulations provide oversight and means to address any negative impacts that may occur, and the approval supports broad policy strategies and actions of the comprehensive plan. Staff recommends approval of the requested STR CUP subject to a maximum occupancy of 4 guests at any time, a maximum of 210 nights of rental usage annually, and the construction of a driveway slash parking pad on site accommodating 2 parking spaces to be constructed prior to the issuance of a short-term rental certificate of compliance or business license. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions the commission has.
Thank you. Before we go to questions for staff, if any of my fellow commissioners have had contact with parties to this case outside of the public hearing, please disclose so now. Seeing none, are there any questions for staff? Seeing none, we will go to public comment. If any member of the public would like to speak on this case, please come forward. Seeing none, is the applicant here? Yeah. Let me just see if we have, if you don't mind.
No, I don't. Yeah, I'm Ken Germond. And I live.
Can you say it into the mic? I apologize.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm Ken Germond, 1504 Windsor. And the applicant lived next door to the 1506 property.
I just wanted to give the commissioners a chance to ask you any questions if anyone had any. Commissioner Stanton?
It's detrimental that you showed your face. That's why I'm glad you came up. That
great.
Tips the scale quite often.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you for being here tonight. Any other questions for Mr. Germond? No? Thank you very much. Oh, sorry. Did you?
It's okay. Since you're here, I'm just curious where you're going to put the parking.
Well, it's an open question. The in the picture there, so the property line is not clear. Like, I've seen a plat several years ago that kind of showed the property line between the 2 tracks of James Bayless driveway there, but even the county doesn't have the plat, so I don't know where exactly I saw that. But and then I have another data point where a survey was done a year or so ago, I think, and they said that in the back of the property line is consistent with the fence. So I don't know that I have access to that shared driveway. Anyway, it's kind of the initial hope was that could share that driveway and have a pad just to the what would be to the east of the house, where that kind of where the bush is, would be option 1, kind of what I was hoping, or have to put it basically in the front yard on the left-hand side of the pathway there. The water meter is in that stone structure there on the left.
Thank you. Doesn't really affect anything, just curious.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Thank you very much for being here tonight. All right, any other members of the public to speak? Seeing none, we will close public comment and go to commissioner comment. Any commissioner comments on this case? Seeing none. Oh, Commissioner Stanton.
Well, Madam Chair, if my colleagues have no further comment relating to this case, I would like to entertain a motion.
Please.
As it relates to case 290-2025, I move to approve the requested STR CUP subject to the following. Maximum occupancy of 4 transient guests, maximum of 210 nights annual rental usage, and the construction of a driveway parking pad on site accommodating 2 parking spaces prior to issuance of a STR certificate of compliance or business license.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Gray. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Brodsky, may we have a roll call?
Commissioner Dar.
Yes.
Commissioner Galway Jones.
Yes.
Commissioner Gray.
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton.
Yes.
Commissioner Stockton.
Yes.
And my vote is yes. The motion carries.
Thank you. That recommendation will be forwarded to City Council. That concludes our business for the evening. We will go to public comments. If there are any comments from the public of a general nature, please come forward. Gephardt, you know the drill.
Good evening. My name is Jay Gephardt. I'm civil engineer with the civil group, but I'm actually just here for myself tonight. And I apologize. You got an early night, and I'm keeping you. But I've got 3 things I'd like to discuss briefly. The first being, and I haven't talked to Pat about any of this, I do want to talk about Pat in that he is one of the hardest working city employees there are, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate all that he does. And I by no means want you to take what I'm saying as a criticism of Pat. In that, because he works very, very hard at his job, and I appreciate everything he does. He helps me a lot. The first thing is this small lot integration into the R1 zoning. I know in just coming to the work sessions, I've listened and I've heard the process, but I understand the reasoning for why it's being done the way it is, but from a guy looking from the outside in, who stares at the code every day, and tries to apply it and explain it to clients and things, it would be helpful, I think, not to get this at the end. And then you guys are already vested in your decisions at that point, kind of, because you've been working on this for 18 months and you've been thinking about things. And for us to come in and, you know, I don't know how long we will have to make comments, but most of us are pretty busy, you know, working 60, 70-hour weeks, and it's just hard to, you know, I've made this a kind of a purpose of mine to try to help. So, I don't have a solution, and it's, you guys are way into this, and I'm not trying to upset the apple cart in any way on that. It's just there's a lot of things here, and Pat's really good, and he's actually really good at seeing the perspective of a developer, but he just doesn't do what I do. And so there's I think there's things that I could help with, and I don't know if you guys do this in something like this again, that you bring in a consultant to sit through your work sessions and be there to answer questions or offer opinions, not necessarily to, I mean, we're not appointed by the, wouldn't be appointed by the council necessarily or anything like that. It'd be just, there is more of a consulting role, just to provide perspective to what you're talking about. Because the work sessions, the way they're structured, I mean, even though I come and I listen, I can't say anything. And then by tomorrow I'll have forgotten everything. And then the third thing is, in general, the UDC in general, it's a almost, we're going on 9 years, right, Pat? It'll be 9 years in March. You know, the planning staff is very short-staffed as far as I'm concerned in being able to address changes. And I think there's a lot of things that even the city staff has that they would like to see changed, and there's just no time for them to put that together. And I don't know what the solution to that is, but I really do think after 8-9 years, it's time to revisit that document. There's some really good things about it. There's some things that could be better. And, you know, and I have a vested interest in this. And, you know, like I say, I use it every day. But it's something that I wanted to bring you to your attention. And because it was a short meeting tonight, I thought, well, this is a good time to do that. And again, I just, I don't want anyone to think that I'm criticizing the what's going on. It's just, I want to try to be helpful and try to provide information if I can in any way that you guys see fit and thinks appropriate. So that's really all I had.
If I may, I will say that at least for the short term, or not short term, for the small lots, we are viewing this, at least in my mind, and I think in staff's mind, this is the halfway point. When we give it to city staff and to the larger community, expecting the developers to get it, break it, and then give it back to us.
Okay.
Before we get to a final version. Because we want to see, among other things, visualizations of what would you do if you had this. So we get an idea of what it looks like. So I think we're at the halfway point, not the end.
So we'll get 18 months?
A couple months.
Answer that.
But I don't think that you're going to be handed a final product so much as a first draft, is what I'm saying.
I get that. It's just like even tonight when you guys were talking about streets. I mean, the guys that sit there and design streets all day long, they have a lot of ideas of things that, but they're boxed by the code, and you know, being able to get them involved in having the ability to have unique designs for unique situations that fit, you know, instead of the standard 28-foot street and a 50-foot right-of-way type of thing.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I learned something tonight. I was telling David when he was talking to me. It's the code in Appendix A, Pat. I think it's paragraph 6. It talks about this being for predominantly new development and doesn't apply basically to, you know what I'm talking about? Okay. And that that's just something I've never really even seen and really thought about before until tonight. It just happened to be up on the screen. But if that is actually applied where you don't have to come in and get a design adjustment, like I was talking a few weeks ago, I had a project. It was a little survey where we're on Meadow Lane, and we were asking for design adjustments. We had an existing street that was 16 feet wide and a 20-foot right-of-way, and we were being asked to dedicate right-of-way. And maybe I didn't need to do that because it's already in the appendix. It just says that I don't have to do that because I'm not doing new development, and it's just moving a line, you know, on a plat and creating two legal lots. So anyway, I just bring that up that these things, as you know, if you use the code very much, you realize you fix one thing and then you realize you got about two other things that happened unintentionally, and it's just, it gets really complicated pretty quick. And so to have a couple months to review that really is just kind of the beginning of a discussion, because there's so many things that it affects. It touches, it's a spider web type thing. It just touches so many things when you go and change one thing. So,
Commissioner Stanton.
How you doing, sir?
Yeah.
So I'm glad you came up and you discussed this. So I want you to put Pat's hat on, and he's going to give the development community this. You just brought up a good point about kind of taking the gloves off of the development community and letting them be innovative and thinking out of the box relating to that. How would you do that? How would you get it to your PAT? How do we go to the next phase to the community, the development community?
Well, one thing, I'm glad I don't have Pat's job. So, Tony or Anthony, I just don't have a good answer for you. I wish I did. I spend a lot of time doing layouts and thinking about development and how things should work together. And I find myself bound by the code many times. And, you know, we got away from the plan districts, but in the plan districts I was free to suggest things and do things differently. And now there's a process and I got to get a design adjustment. And sometimes, you know, clients just don't want to do the design adjustment even though they like the idea just because it introduces the uncertainty of getting what they're asking for approved. So there's a lot of things like that involved in it. But, you know, talking about utility easements tonight, and Pat had the idea of running it along the property line, well, utility company's probably not going to like that because, you know, like electric utility says they have to have everything within 15 feet of pavement or they won't approve it. So, you know, they've got to be able to work off pavement. So they much rather tear up concrete than tear up someone's yard and get their vehicles stuck and things like that, trying to fix something in a rainstorm, you know, in the middle of the night. So, but that's just example after example after example of things that can affect this. And to, you know, how do you involve this? Maybe, you know, I came tonight and I kind of changed what I was going to say just because I was listening to Pat and he's saying, you know, we're going to give it to them to see if they can, you know, what doesn't work and make suggestions. I think that's good. But there has to be more back and forth than that. And then it's not just a, like, here, Jay, write up your comments and we'll take them into consideration type thing, because it's almost a discussion rather than a, you know, just here's my comments. And one, you know, it's the guys that I know that do this are all super busy. And so to carve out time to do this is a big commitment to do. So, you know, whether you're talking about Tim Crockett or myself, I'm sure Tim would agree with me. It's just, it's important enough that we're willing to do it, but we got to be able to feel like what we've got, you know, our comments and stuff are being incorporated into it. And right now it just feels, you know, the way the work sessions are set up, it just feels like, you know, even if you participate, you can't participate. And so that's just how I feel. So
appreciate
that. Let you get home.
Sorry, Cody has something. Commissioner Darr.
It's a little tricky, I think, because you're wanting to, and I think it all comes down to the amount of staff and time resources we have, which is not very much, is you want more input. We want more input from the development community in some ways. And you know, 18 months is what we get, and you want 18 months. And now we've got lengthened the process a whole long time, but we're also wanting to, and Pat has mentioned this many times, you know, he's got a list of things in the UDC he wants to address. You know, we're taking it step by step. Right now it's the small lots, and he's got a list of things that he will be addressing. So if we lengthen this small lot process, well, it's even longer before we get to the next thing that we need to change. So we almost need to compress it to get to more things as opposed to lengthening the process.
And I agree, Cody, 100%. And it's just the way that's being done. You know, we're going to come in and throw darts at the end at this instead of being part of it from the beginning. And if we were part of it from the beginning, then maybe it wouldn't take so long to do.
Good point.
So much back and forth.
Yeah,
so,
and
but it is very much constrained by this man's staff and what they can actually, you know, accomplish. And so
one last thing I'll say is, 18 months, it's not like we were spending 18 months every 2 weeks. I mean, and I get it. I just, since we're being transcribed, I just want to point out for those who haven't been watching the process as closely, this hasn't been the only thing we've been doing for 18 months.
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it does, we do need to go faster.
Yeah.
100%. And I guess what I'm saying tonight is I'm willing to help if I can help. And I'm not here to criticize or put down what's being done. I'm just trying to make it better if I can. So.
We appreciate the offer. Any final questions?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public to speak tonight? Seeing none. Staff comments, Mr. Zinner.
Thank you very much for the comments, Mr. Gebhardt. We'll talk and see what we can do to incorporate those that need to participate in this process. That is our intent, and the intent is to have a dialogue. It's not to just accept comments and then basically thank them and then don't do anything with them. This process requires the ability for those that are actually interacting on the day-to-day side to be able to find use out of what we've spent our time discussing. The last thing I want to see happen is a set of regulations adopted that sit and don't get used. So we will have to cross that bridge, and it'll be a task that we will have to figure out how do we make progress. So your next meeting is October 9th, and we have a number of items on the agenda, and unfortunately, what occupies a lot of our time is what will occupy a lot of this agenda space on the 9th. We'll notice that there is only one item out of this entire agenda of 9 items that is actually a rezoning request. These are all short-term rental applications that aren't within 300 feet of another short-term rental. However, they are not owner-occupied dwelling units. And if they are owner-occupied dwelling units, they are seeking more than 210 nights or more than 120 nights of rental. So these are all of the short-term rental applications. There are 8 short-term rental applications, and then there is one rezoning application from Ag to IG. That is a parcel that is adjoining and just to the northeast of what was at the corner or is at the corner of U.S. Highway 63 and Paris Road that was rezoned for the purposes of an RV park, a commercial zoning designation. This is the property that is to the northeast of that. So we'll unpack that request of why we need IG in this particular location. It does have frontage along the Paris Road corridor, so that may be a little bit of the explanation for the IG designation. The rest of this is pretty standard fare for what we are spending a tremendous amount of our time on as a staff. So you have familiarity with the parcels we're talking about. The first 2 slides on the left of this graphic are short-term rentals, one on Southwest Boulevard, one on St. Michael Street. The A to IG parcel there that is just off the interchange of US 63 and Paris Road. East Ash Street and North 9th, and then South Old Highway 63 in an apartment complex. And then our final short-term rental request off of 4216 Forum Boulevard down on the south end of town, just south of Nifong Boulevard. Those are your 9 items for the October 9th agenda. The October 20th agenda at this point has not nearly that many items on it, but if I'm not incorrect, we will have the October 23rd agenda. We'll have our tabled item for a final plat and that design adjustment, and then I believe the remaining items on that agenda, which are 2 or 3, are short-term rental requests as well. Volume on concept reviews for actual development, I can tell you that volume is still robust. We're still conducting concept reviews on things that aren't short-term rentals. So we will hopefully over our winter months be able to see some things that are coming in. We are also, of course, exploring areas of where we are looking at planned zoning districts that are seeking to be moved out of planned zone. So we are continuing to see requests for that type of activity as well. As many of you may not be aware, my senior planner, Miriam, she resigned her position in mid-August. So we are down a senior planner at this point. Mr. Smith will begin his tenure with the City of Columbia for the second tour at the end of this month as our new director. So at this juncture right now, we are in a moment of transition. That moment of transition is having an impact as it relates to moving on to our next major initiative, which is the city's comprehensive plan. I would also like to inform you that the short-term rental regulation amendment, which I did indicate was intended to go forward on the October 6th agenda with City Council first reading, is not being introduced. It will be being held until such time as we are able to have a work session with the City Council to describe the purposes and the intent of that regulatory amendment. We appreciate the correspondence that the Commission has produced that has been provided. However, it was a management decision to hold that off. So we will continue to be processing short-term rental requests as we have been through the Commission until such time as there is some resolution to that amendment. The short-term rental contract for our vendor services, however, will likely be being introduced at the second meeting in October for Council, such that we can hopefully secure those services before the end of this calendar year to assist. And so the public understands that may be interested or follows us on television. Compliance with the short-term rental regulations began June 1 of this year, full compliance. We have sent two rounds of notices out to all, to generally a list of about 293 operators that we are aware of that are operating short-term rentals within the City of Columbia or have previously had them posted on a listing platform. We are beginning the process of prosecution at this point. So we strongly encourage those that are still not licensed to please avail yourself of this process to avoid the process of having to go through being cited and being prosecuted with the municipal court. While our staff will work with you to ensure that we can get you through the regulatory process as easily as possible, but we are beginning the process now of enforcing after two notices being sent. And if you have not responded after receiving those notices, you are most likely going to receive a notice of a court hearing date in the near future. With that, I appreciate your attention this evening. As I indicated during work session, we will hold our annual elections for Planning and Zoning Commission officers at our first meeting in October. And we will be looking at hopefully wrapping up the technical component of our evaluation of the UDC at this point so I can start to bring you back the text changes that are specific to Article 5 and Appendix A. With that, that is all we have to offer. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will go to commissioner comments. Are there any commissioner comments this evening? Seeing none, Commissioner Stanton, did you want to say something?
Madam Chair, thank you.
Yes.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Gray. Without objection, we stand adjourned.